Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is a Win Tracy recording. It is 1:01 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 17th. Well, the Nasdaq was particularly noteworthy in here today because it pulled back rather sharply at the beginning of the trading session. And part of the reason for that was because of the underperformance of Netflix. Netflix had really pulled back very sharply following disappointing subscriber numbers. I think at this stage, everyone who wants Netflix probably has it. It's going to have to continue to extend its reach internationally to reach new subscribers. And in its major markets today, anyone who doesn't have Netflix at this stage probably doesn't really want it and would probably represent a higher cost of client acquisition for the company. So that's obviously a headwind. But what we see very clearly from the chart is that today demonstrated support in the region of the upper side of that underlying trading range, that the progression of higher reaction lows remains broadly intact, and that there is still a series of ranges one above another. But that is assuming that the $350 area continues to hold, and that is now a key psychological Rubicon for the share. It unwound approximately half its overextension relative to the trend mean in here today. So this still represents a share that accelerated in no uncertain terms, and that this is at least a pause within the context of the medium-term advance. It could potentially be a medium-term peak. So that $350 area is a rather important one. I think it's also worth highlighting what Tesla is doing, because it bounced from the $300 area in here today. And $300 is an awfully big psychological level for Tesla. It's where a lot of the short positions in the options market start to make money. But the more important point is that these shares are iconic within the high yield sector. And the fact that they continue to do well, or at least are holding their own, is representative of the largesse that the investing community is willing to still afford to what are effectively really quite risky investments, despite the fact that they have got very bullish stories. There is no getting around the fact that neither of these companies makes any money, or at least doesn't make enough money to cover their rather extraordinary expenditures. So what that, I think, it does highlight is that when we think about the high yield sector in the USA, then it has just broken out. It is not really trending higher in a very clearly defined manner just yet. But that's not quite the case with everything that we look at, because European high yield spreads are, and I've sent myself a number of these charts so I can find them a little bit easier. What I found was quite interesting with this chart from JP Morgan is that aggregate high yield spreads globally are trending higher. Now, that is incorporating what's going on in Asia and in Europe. So despite the fact that the situation in the USA is relatively sanguine still, even though the yield has just the spread has just broken out, it's already trending higher in Europe and in China. Well, then when we just simply look at the banking sectors for both those jurisdictions, well, China's banks are trending lower. And the relief that we saw last week has been relatively modest. We certainly need to see clear upward dynamics that are held for more than a couple of sessions. Now, I think it is quite likely we're going to see another pop on the upside over the course of the next couple of days because we've had such a deterioration already. But we need to see clear, central government action to support the financial sector. And the big underlying question that is that needs to be answered with regard to China, and it's not something that's going to be answered quickly, is the natural rate of default, because we simply don't know what it is. And that is a significant headwind to sentiment. But it's not only that Chinese banks are underperforming. The European banking sector is also underperforming. And despite the fact that we had a pop on the upside yesterday for Deutsche Bank, that was on a reasonable surprise in terms of its earnings, but the reality is that the European banking sector remains under pressure, and that's one of the clear reasons why the high yield sector is underperforming in this area. So, when we think about the risks that are outstanding, well, it's easy to think about the USA and say, well, valuations are awfully are getting high and are looking a bit rich, but the stock market there and the banking sector has bounced from exactly where it needed to in order to remain reasonably consistent. The S&P 500 banks sector was looking a little bit ropey a couple of weeks ago, but now it has bounced and it is back above the trend mean. Well, obviously it needs to support itself around that 330 area, but so far the outlook has been relatively sanguine. So there is the potential here that the continued outperformance of Wall Street will continue to support the outlook for the dollar. On the one hand, you had Jay Powell today saying that the Federal Reserve is not yet willing to declare victory in their quest to get inflation back to a level that's self-sustaining for the economy. And that means they're probably going to start raising rates, or they're going to continue to raise rates until they break something. And so far, that's been beneficial for the dollar because the EU is not going to be raising rates anytime soon. They're just coming to the end of their purchase program, and considering the underperformance of the banking sector already, then the likelihood is that they're not going to be able to raise rates anytime soon. They may even have to go back into quantitative easing, and I think that's part of the reason why you have this continued benefit for the US dollar. So right now you've got Wall Street performing and you've got a strong dollar, and that's really attractive to international investors. When you think about the outlook for the emerging markets, they tend to do best when they've got reasonably steady stock market environments and a strong currency. That way, international investors get the benefit of capital and currency market appreciation. Well, when we look at what's going on in Japan, then you don't quite have that scenario. That the Nikkei was up another 100 points in here today. It is coming back up towards the upper side of this evolving range. But by far the most important thing that Japan has done over the course of the last few years is sustain the move above 20,000. When we look at that on a long-term basis, we can see clearly that every time it got up to 20,000, it failed and moved to a new low. And that stopped in 2015. It got up to 20,000 and then found support at 15. And now it is back above the 20,000 area. As long as it is holding 20,000, I think we can hew to the conclusion that this is a new secular bull market. Then, when we look at the second section index, which is so often a lead indicator, it has firmed from the region of 7,000. So that's still generally supportive. But the yen is weakening. And part of the reason for that is because of the fact that Japan is the only central bank that is still engaged in quantitative easing, and I did not type in the right ticker. I'm sorry. The yen is up to 112.85, and this is now coming back to test the progression of lower rally highs for the dollar. So it's a rather key level. If it can sustain the move above 115, well, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment for the dollar beyond the short term. Japan is not only stimulating, but it's had these very damaging floods in the western part of the country, and that's going to be an excuse to support the stimulative process again. So I think that's generally positive for the stock market. Well, when we think about where are we in terms of the cycle, well, we know that we're not early, and we know that the major central banks are engaged in quantitative tightening. And we know that the central bank is raising interest rates and reducing the size of its balance sheet at the same time. And That is resulting in quantitative tightening, which is the size of central bank balance sheets contracting, and it's contracted by all over $1 trillion in just this year alone. So this is a change, and that is something that is eventually going to represent a headwind for stock markets. But generally speaking, and in the third psychological perception stage of a bull market, you start to see things like people gain the new religion of buy and hold, and that has certainly been the case over the last few years. Active investors have underperformed. Warren Buffett has extolled the benefits of simply owning the S&P 500 on an ETF basis, and that has and then ETFs themselves have been proliferating at the expense of mutual funds. So that's certainly evident. But then there is the potential that a third psychological perception stage can climax in an acceleration, and that's the big question. That's, I think, the question that most people should be asking is, what is the likelihood that this market is going to accelerate higher? Well, so far, the leading shares have been the clear fangs. Well, Netflix is one of those, and so is Tesla, and so is Amazon. Well, Amazon's Prime Day kicked off today. They expect it to be the biggest one yet, and it's looking increasingly likely that the next area of psychological resistance is around 2,000, considering that the share paused around 500, and it paused around the 750 area, paused around 1,000, then at 1,500, and it's at 1,850 right now. And this is a clear acceleration higher. So when we're looking for acceleration, there is obviously evidence of it. And when we think about what are the lead indicators for future recessions, well, then the yield curve spread is the big one. And it compressed again in here today, and it's down to 24 basis points. Well, the speed with which it is contracting is rather impressive, considering it was at 50 basis points in May, so it's halved since then. And it's a reliable lead indicator of future recessions, but it is a lengthy lead indicator. It could be anything from 6 to 18 months out. Well, we're in July now, and let's say, for example, it goes negative this year. Well, that means that we're probably going to have a recession at some point next year. If for some reason stabilizes and starts to push back up, well, then that could delay the prospect. But the speed with which it's coming down suggests that at some point next year, potentially towards the end of the year, we could have a recession. And that is why it is so important now to monitor the consistency of trends, that the Nasdaq and the Russell 2000 have continued to extend their upward advances. And the Dow Jones was able to sustain its move above the 25,000 level. It was the Dow that had experienced the clearest evidence of acceleration of the major indices at the end of last year, and it has had one of the deeper pullbacks and also has been somewhat slower to recover. But it is now trading back above the 25,000 level, and that is rather bullish, I think, in here for the medium term. Now, it might be still a while before it can get all the way back up towards its peak, and this is still a medium-term corrective phase, so it's still in that recovery period, whereas the Nasdaq and the Russell are leading on the upside. And that is where we have the greatest evidence of acceleration. Well, that is also holding out the prospect that this wonderful medium-term advance since 2009 will climax with a bubble. And that is a real possibility, considering the accelerations that we're seeing in some of the world's largest shares. It isn't simply that Amazon is going higher. Microsoft adopted the subscription business model and has done nothing but rise. Adobe has been surging higher for years now. It was at 100 at the beginning of 2017, and it's at 250 today. And not only are these impressive advances, but they're very consistent. For example, Adobe has got this wonderful progression of higher reaction lows and series of staircase step sequence uptrend with ranges one above another. So these are very easy to analyze. It won't really be over until they lose their consistency. So there is the potential that we get an acceleration. And that is against a background where financial conditions are tightening. So then if we do get a recession next year, well, there's a lot of fat that could be taken out of the stock market in a medium term or bear market phase. But we're still in a secular bull market. There are incredible innovations that are happening in the healthcare sector and in the technology sector generally, in the energy sector, the rise of the global consumer, the global spread of capitalism. These are incredibly powerful dynamic forces that are contributing to a secular bull market. So that means that, and there is no secular bull market, and we define a secular bull market as something that lasts for years, that isn't punctuated by a recession from time to time. And that suggests that a recession will be a wonderful buying opportunity from the perspective of a longer-term investor. Now, I think with that, I'd like to leave you for the next couple of weeks, and I'd wish all the best to all of you.